The next steps for the Jays on the mound. Let's welcome in our MLB analyst, Steve Phillips, to the program. Steve, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, guys. Good to be with you. Happy Monday.
Happy Monday to you as well. Let's start with Kikuchi. And Charlie Montoyo did not defend Kikuchi like he did Jose Berríos, and that makes sense. Of course, Jose Berríos, a much better track record historically than Yusei Kikuchi does. But, man, Yusei has really been struggling of late, Steve. Can you imagine a world in which he starts this week against the Tampa Bay Rays, or would you kind of sit him down for a while, maybe phantom DL stint?
Yeah, I think they need to figure out something, right? That was one of my thoughts, is come up with a hangnail injury and see if he can't back him off a little bit, start to clear his mind, send him on a rehab start or two, and try to get him fixed up a little bit, just back on track again, because right now as much of it's probably got to be mental as anything else. The other thing that I think they definitely need to do is separate in the rotation. Now, it's going to be hard with balancing off days and everything else, but you can't have Berríos and Kikuchi back-to-back in the rotation. Because you need Manoah to separate the two of them, so that, because what ends up happening, you get a bad outing on Saturday and a bad outing on Sunday, and now you go into a Monday series with your bullpen blown out. And if you separate your starters who are struggling a little bit with a starter who can eat up some innings, then you're not blowing out your bullpen for a week. You know, which is, you know, it's really, they're set up so poorly with their bullpen now because of the usage that they've had to do. Now they got multiple innings worth of work out of some guys, which was positive, but it's really not the best way to have it set up. Now, you know, I understood in the beginning why they did it the way they did, but you know, for Berríos, who's been inconsistent, he's been either really good or really bad, right? It's not really been just mediocre across the board, because mediocre across the board for a starting pitcher, with this offense and a bullpen that, if you can at least stay in the game through five innings, you've got a chance to come out of it with some wins. But the peaks and valleys are what you try to avoid. And right now, you know, they've got a lot of that going on, which is why they can't seem to sustain a long run of success. They can't put together the 6, 7, 8 game winning streak, because within that, there's always a clunker. And clunkers, and then back-to-back clunkers, make it really difficult and potentially set you up for, you know, a 5-game losing streak because of what it does to the bullpen.
Well, thank God for Alejandro Kirk in this lineup, because literally, like, he's been the only thing keeping this team going. Their bats have been, you know, quiet for the most part. Their pitching staff is struggling a little bit. But Alejandro Kirk has been, you know, the beast in this lineup. I mean, he hits a 3-run home run last night, giving him 4 home runs and 9 RBIs in his last 5 games. Where would this team be without him right now?
Yeah, no, they'd be in a little trouble. And you mean, remember, we just came off a week where Vlad was player of the week, and not a surprise, Kirk hitting behind him in the lineup. And Tony La Russa, we talked about it last week, making the choice to pitch to Vladdy instead of pitching to Kirk. And Kirk's really gaining a lot of reputation around the league, because when you look at his numbers, you know, walking more than you strike out, and walking a fair amount, more than 10%, really shows a great level of plate discipline, great eye-hand coordination, the ability to hit fastballs and breaking balls. He hits the ball to all fields, and he has great plate presence and discipline, and really is so locked in right now. And it just seems to really always be on top of every pitch. And so you're right. Without him, they would have been some trouble. Now, the good news is Matt Chapman had a couple of good at-bats yesterday, including off a heater ripping a double. And so, you know, you get or getting a double, and then, you know, you start to look at maybe you can get some length to the lineup, that it's not just Kirk, because the reality is even the best hitters run into it every once in a while and do have a slump. And so, you know, it's hard to have quality at-bats when you're digging yourself out of a hole in a game, because you feel like every out is a lost opportunity, and you need to really make up ground. So, you know, they just need better starting pitching. It all always starts there. It affects the at-bats. It affects the bullpen. It affects margin for error. It affects the way everybody feels during the course of a game.
They're going to need the starting pitching this week too, Steve. And we're in conversation with our MLB analyst, Steve Phillips, here on First Up, as the Boston Red Sox in town and then the Tampa Bay Rays in town, the two competitors at this point in the American League East, the Jays a game and a half behind Boston, tied with Tampa. Is it fair, or would you call it a stretch, Steve, to look at the next week or so as a potential tipping point in the season for Toronto, considering where they are in the standings and who they're playing?
Well, I think that it's, I certainly understand why you'd look at it that way, considering the schedule and the teams and the divisional rivals and all of it. But this is a good team. The Jays are a really good team. Everybody in the league recognizes, everybody that I talk to on a regular basis in the league recognizes they're a good team. And so, you know, what you can't do as a manager and a general manager is say, boys, this is the critical series, because what if you do lose? You know, does it mean something's over? And it doesn't. And so they need to regroup. They need to get back on track a little bit. They need to get the pitching figured out. They need a really good outing to start to protect and let the bullpen recover a bit. Because if they get another clunker and they're back out in the bullpen again for multiple innings, you know, from individual pitchers again, then it's going to make it that much more difficult to face the rest of the week here. So, look, there's something good about the fact that you're playing really good teams, that it can maybe elevate everybody's level of play. And this has been a resilient team. We see it during the course of games where they can come back. And I think it's the same sort of thing that when you've hit the roadblock a couple times, you can bounce back from that and get it going. And that resiliency can certainly show itself again.
Steve, you know, we've been talking the last couple weeks about panic button for our Toronto Blue Jays, and you've sort of been the calming influence behind it, saying, you know, there's not really much time to panic right now. They're still, they got the third best record in the American League. You know, they'll figure this thing out, but they just got leapfrogged by the Boston Red Sox and now are fourth in the division and showing continued signs of struggle. The trade deadline is just a couple weeks away. Do you think there's starting to be some panic, especially entering a series now against the hot Boston Red Sox team?
Yeah, so I think that certainly the level of urgency is increased with the pitching part of it. You know, it's not like they haven't given Kikuchi the opportunity to get it turned around. Now, whether they can go with an opener for him where the first inning's been such an issue, maybe you can do that. But, you know, then it burns out one of your relievers when you do it. And so, you know, I do think they need to pull him back a little bit. I think that the team's not going to panic. They know they're a good team. They know they're playing some good teams. I mean, listen, there's no shame in losing in a game where it's Corbin Burns pitches against you. He was a Cy Young Award winner last year and had dominating stuff, yet they rallied and came back in that game. They showed that resiliency for which this team is becoming famous for. So, you know, there are other really good teams in the game. The Red Sox, I have to admit, have surprised me. They really have. I mean, they won seven in a row. You know, since like May 10th, they're the first or second best record in baseball behind the Yankees. And I don't see the pitching there to be able to do what they're doing, to turn things around. So, you know, I'm not necessarily a huge believer in Boston, but it doesn't matter what I think. They believe in themselves, right? Because Alex Cora gets them doing that. And Tampa now pulled into a tie too. And for Tampa, it's been a bit up and down, overall. But, you know, look, they're running into the Brewers this week now, Tampa Bay. So we'll see what that looks like. And the Yankees, it doesn't seem to matter who they're playing. They just keep on winning.
Steve, let's talk about the wild, wild scene yesterday between the Angels and the Mariners. And we should mention, Saturday night, the Mariners throw at Mike Trout at his head, and he narrowly avoids disaster in that respect, unlike Bryce Harper. Perhaps we'll be able to get to that in a little bit as well. But there are eight guys ejected from the game. Winker going after the entire opposition side. And Scott Servais, the manager for the Mariners, comes out and says that he thinks that the Angels had it in mind when they came to the ballpark on Sunday. They switched pitchers before the game. They had an opener basically to throw at the Seattle Mariners hitters. Like, what do you make of the whole situation? What type of punishments could we see levied?
Yeah, I think it's going to be pretty substantial punishments. I mean, you know, there was some serious, there were haymakers being thrown. J.P. Crawford was throwing forearms as shivers at guys in the pile. And I think as they further sort through the video, they're going to find even more culprits. There was some serious banging around going on. Look, I think if the Mariners didn't understand that there was a chance somebody was going to get thrown at, then they're living under a rock. You know, you throw at Mike Trout, you nearly hit him in the head. Yep. Ohtani got buzzed on a pitch, and then he hit a home run the day before. but they threw it right at Trout's head. And you can't do that. And now, I don't know that that was intentional. But, you know, Mike Trout said, look, if you're going to throw inside, if you can't control it, then you can't throw inside like that because you can't throw it up at somebody's head. You know, Wants ended up throwing behind Julio Rodriguez in the game yesterday. Then he hit Winker. But, you know, Winker should have just gone down to first base and it would have resolved everything. The walking over toward the dugout part of it, I don't get. And that sort of escalated it. And then he kept yapping and he was in Phil Nevin's face in the scrum when it was all in there. And it kind of kept going, like, you know, for three different times during the course of it. So I thought the umpires did a good job getting that many, but there will probably be more suspensions. And, you know, I think Phil Nevin, with the changing of the pitching, might have to answer some questions about that and may get a more additional suspension over it. But, you know, I think that it could have all been settled if the umpire had kept Winker away from the Angels dugout. That would have helped. But once he lost grip of him, Winker going toward the dugout, the Angels were coming out. You know, and I don't like it for baseball. I think, you know, sometimes people like those. I don't like them because I think it takes away from the game.
I kind of like it, Steve. I'm not going to lie. I mean, it's exciting anyways. I mean,
Rendon, the guy's got a broken hand, and he's the guy leading the charge.
Yeah, he was at least punching with his left hand, not his right. So give him credit for that.
Yeah, exactly. That's a lot of forward thinking there from Rendon, no doubt. Steve, thank you so much for doing this. We'll chat with you on Thursday morning.
All right, guys. Thanks so much.